Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What's up, everybody? It's another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm your host, Dan Canobio, and let me tell you, everybody, business is picking up in the boxing world. A lot going on right now. We got through the summer. We got through Labor Day. We got through week one of the NFL season, but now it's time for the big fights, and we have a lot of big fights coming up. We have a lot of great guests on this show. Fresh off his victory Saturday night, we have WBC welterweight champ Sean Porter joining us. He will recap the night that was when he defeated Danny Garcia. He'll tell us what's next for him, and just a really good guy, and it's going to be great to hear from Sean Porter, who's still reveling in the victory on Saturday night. We're also going to talk to Abel Sanchez. Of course, he is the trainer of Gennady Golovkin. Abel is liable to say anything, so you want to stick around for that one as we get into Triple G Canelo fight week. There's a lot of stuff to get to. Boxing is really picking up. We have Triple G Canelo this weekend. Followed by that, we'll have overseas on DAZN. You will see Anthony Joshua going up against Povetkin in a heavyweight title match. You always have to watch what the heavyweight division is up to. So a lot to get into today. A lot of news and notes. A lot of swirling things going on in boxing. We'll start off with what we saw on Saturday night at the Barclays Center. I was there ringside doing my CompuBox thing. I was counting Porter, so I had a very close eye on Sean Porter all night long. I mean, the vibe in Brooklyn was tremendous. And before the fight even started, I was able to sit down with Mauro Ranallo, the famed broadcaster for Showtime Boxing. We did a 20-minute podcast that's on iTunes right now. Search Inside Boxing Live, and you'll see this interview I did with Mauro. Check that out. It was outstanding. I really had a good time talking to Mauro about his mental health advocacy and some of his greatest fights that he's called. I actually did some impressions for him. It was a really cool conversation. So that got the night started for me on a personal note. And then we went over to ringside, and we watched a great triple header on Showtime, starting off with the heavyweights, man. Wow, what a fight between Gennady and Charles Martin. Really set the tone. All of Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where I'm from, the Polish crowd came out for Gennady, and he put on a show. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight more. But we got to the main event of the night, Porter Garcia. And here are my thoughts on the fight. Garcia started off slow. He came out slow. He's a slow starter. We all know that. He's always going to be like that. So what did Porter do? He came out, he threw 42 punches a round in rounds 1 through 5. Then he got it up to 72 a round. He really stepped on the gas pedal rounds 5 through 12. And we'll hear from Sean Porter later in this show to hear his thoughts on why he stepped up, what his game plan exactly was. But it was a very close fight. When it came down to it, Porter was more aggressive. He swarmed Danny Garcia. He landed some really good shots. He landed some good counter shots. He landed some good, you know, straight right hands. He did a little bit more than Garcia. Garcia had his moments, too. He landed the cleaner shots, I thought. But it was just that Porter did a lot more. He got the win, Sean Porter. He is your new WBC welterweight champion. Afterwards, Errol Spence jumps into the ring. And I love this about the PBC. The thing I love about the PBC, and they got a new deal with Showtime and Fox that we'll talk about. But the thing about PBC is they're fighters, they're ringside, they're having a good time, and you will see this. You will see a guy like Errol Spence hop into the ring, who get into the face of Sean Porter, and it gives the fans something to look forward to. So that's what we're going to see next, most likely. We'll get Sean's thoughts on that. We'll be seeing Sean Porter versus Errol Spence in early 2019. But we got to get to the main reason why we're doing this show today. That is Triple G Canelo Fight Week. We've got Abel Sanchez on the show. We're also going to give you our official keys to victory for one for Triple G, one for Canelo, what each fighter needs to do to win the rematch. So a lot to get to here. We got Sean Porter. We got Abel Sanchez. We're going to break down the Triple G Canelo fight as only CompuBox can do. But next, we got Sean Porter. All right, our next guest here on Inside Boxing Live. First of all, we have to mention our sponsor very quickly. Jack Doyle's is the official spot to watch all big fights. Check them out on West 35th Street, a few steps away from Madison Square Garden. They got all the big games. NFL football is in full swing. MLB playoffs is right around the corner. And some really big fights coming down the stretch, too. Check out Jack Doyle's for all your needs in New York City. Here we have with us right now, he is the newest WBC welterweight champion. You know who he is. He's Showtime Sean Porter, and he's gracious enough to hop on with us with Inside Boxing Live. First of all, Sean, congratulations on a win. What a night.
What a night it was. Thank you very much. Just a hard-fought victory. I'm very strategic and tactical, and went the way myself and my corner wanted it to go.
Yeah, so I remember we had you on the show, maybe 2 months ago, and everything we talked about was, we talked about when and if you would fight Danny Garcia. This is how it would go down. You know, when I win that WBC title, you know, things are going to be great. And, you know, I will fight Errol Spence before my career is over. Now all these things are happening for you, and it has happened so quickly. I know that it's been a long road for you, but in just 2 short months, when we're talking about all the ifs and the whens, now this is reality. So has that really set in for you about your goals and have come true for you?
It's all here. And I think that's all it is, man. It's, you know, me separating myself from everyone else in my division and my sport, and, you know, doing the best I can to set goals and manage myself and my team and my life and my professional life as well along the way, just to achieve those goals. And, you know, this was the number one goal for me, was to win this WBC championship, and it's done. I got to set another goal and go after it. But I'm just thrilled to have this WBC title and finally become a part of that family.
So where are you right now? How'd you feel after the win? Just talk to us, man. What are you doing right now? How are you celebrating? I mean, you know, you're not going out partying, but what did it feel like to win that title, and where are you at?
You know what, man? I'm a family man. Yeah. So it's really easy for me to celebrate. We got home yesterday in the early afternoon, and I was mad that I missed the Browns game, but, you know, all my friends and some of my family out here, we got together and had dinner. And, you know, we'll probably do dinner again tonight by the pool, a little barbecue.
Nice.
Just continue doing that. And I'm funny, man. I don't care for nightclubs. I'm more of a movie guy and family guy. So as long as I'm around my family and my friends and they're having a good time, I'm having a good time.
So Sean Porter, WBC World Champ, is more of a Netflix and chill guy than a go out to the bars.
Yeah, for sure. and not so much Netflix, because I like being in the theater, man. I like to really feel what's going on. But, and I'm a Monopoly guy. I'm a card guy. Yeah, man, I love it all, man. But I don't do video games. That's my thing. I suck at video games, but, you know, you want to go up against this and some dominoes, you come bring it.
Yeah, you might suck at video games, but, you know, how many times do you see these guys that play video games who are unathletic? So you can just say, yeah, I might suck at video games, but I will knock you out in real life.
Yeah, well, hey, some of my friends got both. Some of my friends are athletic
and according to
games,
yeah,
too,
right.
So.
Yeah. And with the Browns, I mean, if you need an update, you guys tied. You tied the Steelers yesterday. So now, you know.
Don't start. I know we tied.
I was hoping I didn't spoil it for you.
I didn't really understand the tie at first, but I guess right now the NFL is saying you got a clock for overtime, and then whatever it is after that is done. And I'm like, man, finish that game. We needed that win.
Right, they should do it like
a draw. We need a win.
Right, you don't like draws. You don't like draws in boxing. We don't like draws in football. They should do it like doing college football, where it's, you know, they put you on the 25-yard line, and you get a winner no matter what.
Exactly, yeah. And I know boxing people hate draws.
Man, it's like kissing your sister.
They'd rather the wrong hand get raised than get a draw.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing that with Triple G Canelo, and I'll get your thoughts on that a little later. But, you know, I was ringside. I was doing the stats, doing the CompuBox. I was actually counting you, so I had a very close eye on what you were doing in there. But when Jimmy Lennon Jr. read the decision, I actually heard the winner beforehand, because they announced it in our headsets for production purposes. So I knew that you won the fight before your hand was raised.
Nice.
Yeah. So I wanted to just, like, zone in on you and your reaction afterwards, and, you know, when he read out, "And your winner, the new WBC champion, Showtime Sean Porter," you know, you didn't throw the hands up, you didn't jump up and down. It was almost like a smile on your face, like a sense of relief. So take us through that. Is that what you were feeling? Take us through right when Jimmy Lennon read your name, what your feelings were.
Well, just not knowing what was going to happen. You know, obviously you knock a guy out, you know you won the fight, but you just never know what the judges are seeing that night. And, you know, I was going back to the corner. My dad is really realistic every day, but he's really realistic even in the fight. You know, I'm not gonna come back to the corner and he's gonna, you know, pump me gas and tell me that I'm doing all right and I'm winning and, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. You know, so I'm coming back to the corner and, you know, he said, "Hey, we won that round," or, "Hey, that was a close round," or, "Hey, I don't know." You know, so near the end of the fight, we felt like we needed to take rounds 10, 11, and 12. I feel like we did that. But even still, when we were getting the gloves off, it was kind of that moment, you know, that feeling of we don't know what's going to happen. So when I'm standing there and I'm hearing Jimmy Lennon do his thing, and then he says, you know, "And the new WBC champion of the world," all I heard was, and I said, "Oh my God, I cannot believe it."
That's awesome.
It was so, what a feeling, man. I have a 7-month-old baby, and I remember I was in England when my fiance called me and told me that she was with child, and I could not believe it. Wow. And it was this moment was really surreal, like that moment, just a moment of finally capturing something that I've always wanted. A lot like when I had my son, it was something that I always wanted, you know. So just it just was an unbelievable feeling, and I'll never forget it.
I mean, it was a great night. I mean, the crowd was really into it. Can you hear how loud the crowd gets? I mean, I think it was maybe round 9. You actually threw like your career high, 96 punches, but you guys were trading in there, and the crowd was just unreal. So do you hear that? Does that give you adrenaline? You know, just talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, it definitely pumps me up, and I always make sure that when the crowd is screaming, that it's something that I'm doing and not something that's happening to me. You know,
so yeah.
I do know that there were times where he may have swung and missed, and the crowd yelled. There were times where he swung and he hit me. It wasn't the hardest or the cleanest shot, but the crowd screamed again. You know, so I really didn't want the crowd to be a factor for the judges.
Right.
I wanted everything that was happening in the ring to call the judge to cause the judges to do what they did, and I do. I think the judges did the right thing on Saturday night. 8-4 score from one judge, and then 7-5 from the other two judges. I feel like those are the correct scores for the evening.
Yeah, the judging was really good. I mean, the crowd was good, like I just said. I mean, it was a pro Danny crowd heading in, but at the end, I feel like you won over a lot of fans. And I'm from Brooklyn, so I know, you know, the kind of the heartbeat of the crowd, and I've been to the Barclays for a lot of fights. They just want to watch a really good fight. I mean, they might have their guy when they head in there, but if they get their money's worth, which you guys certainly did, they're going to stand up and they're going to applaud both guys. So props on that. But I actually want to talk about, you know, some of the numbers and the nuts and bolts from the fight. You know, we throw around the numbers. The first few rounds didn't seem like you were letting the hands go as much. I think you were averaging 42 punches thrown around for the first four rounds of the fight. But then from the fifth round on is when you really stepped on the gas. We had you averaging 72 punches per round from rounds 5 through 12. You threw a career-high 96 punches in round number 8, like I just talked about. What exactly was the game plan heading in, and also what adjustments did you make in there with Barry Hunter and your dad?
Sure. The game plan was to box him from the outside, try to get him to come at me and be first, knowing that not just from what people say, but watching it firsthand and watching it on video, he's a good counterpuncher. Not only that, he throws the counters that you don't expect, you know, and he throws them when you don't expect them. You know, you're right there in his face, and then here comes a hook. You're right there in his face, and then here comes a right hand, you know. So we wanted to take that away from him. We wanted to try to make him be first. We wanted to try to get him to come at me so that we could kind of, I guess for the lack of words, kind of become more of a counter puncher,
wow.
You know, but also, you know, be first as well. So I think for, you know, rounds 1 through maybe 4 or 5, maybe even 6, You see me bouncing a little bit more. You see me trying to work from the outside more.
Yeah.
You see the feints that you're used to seeing, but you don't see the punch output that you're used to seeing. You don't see the aggression mm-hmm. that you're used to seeing. One word that really stuck with me throughout camp and even in the fight, Barry Hunter kept saying, you got to disarm him. Basically, what Barry meant by that was take away from him what he does great. So if you give him counters to give him something to counter, he'll counter you, you know?
Right.
So we wanted to try to make him be first, disarm him, take away from him what he does well with his counter. And then, you know, near the end of that fight, Barry said, you got to go after him. And then my dad mimicked that. My dad's like, you know, Sean, you really got to win these rounds. You got to win these rounds. And I said, is it time? And they say, oh, yeah, it's time. Go get them.
That's
and,
awesome.
Basically, we knew that at some point my endurance and my conditioning would take me to a level that he wouldn't be able to go to. And, you know, just a blessing from God, it happened that way.
Yeah, I mean, did you figure out, like, maybe those first couple rounds, he wasn't throwing a lot of punches. So, obviously, you said your game plan the first, you know, maybe 5-6 rounds was to let him come to you. Were you surprised at his low output, too? Did that kind of creep into your head? Like, oh, man, like, he's not coming at me. My game plan was to let him come to me. You know, were you a little bit surprised that he wasn't throwing his hands early on either?
No, not surprised at all. We knew that he wouldn't have a high output. We knew that he is a slow starter throughout the course of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it takes him rounds to warm up, but he's just not a high punch output kind of guy, and he's not really gonna go after it, you know. So, and it was, you know, also understanding that, you know, this guy knows that I'm gonna come after him. Give him something else to think about, you
right.
know. So it was just as much a mind game as it was a physical game Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, when did you add Barry Hunter, and what was the thought process in there? I know you worked with your dad forever. And first of all, congratulations to Kenny Porter. He took home the coveted WBC trainer's belt. I saw that around his shoulder. So you guys have two belts in the family now, first off. And secondly, getting Barry Hunter involved in the camp. I mean, talk about a star-studded corner. You got your dad, who's known you your entire life, and you guys have a relationship that's been, you know, documented everywhere. It's great to see that. But what did Barry Hunter bring to the table this time around?
Definitely a Hall of Fame corner. Even Hal Chernoff is a cutman from Maryland, but he's been in the game for a very long time, and I'm sure he'll be in the record books as well. But my dad brought in Barry about 3 weeks left to go into camp, basically for my peak week, so that Barry could give his insight on Danny, so that Barry could see me work. Barry's never been, but Barry's only been in camp with me, but for a couple days. Barry's never been in camp for a week or even like this time around 2 weeks, so it was really a great opportunity for Barry to see me work and for us all to work together before the big night. Most times when Barry's been in my corner, it's only been on the big night. And Barry's known me since I was 10 years old, you know. So even though, you know, it's new to everyone else, we've been working, you know, with Barry for a very long time. And Barry just brought a very great, strong intellectual dynamic to the duel that my dad and I have, and it really worked for us tonight, and I'm sure it was something that we'll move forward with as well.
That's great. I mean, you hear of the father and son tandems, and they're hard to separate. You know, everyone has their opinions on the father son trainer relationship. Just to bring in an outsider, I always think that helps, you know, especially a guy with the pedigree of Barry Hunter. But now I got to get to the million-dollar question here. Errol Spence hopped into the ring. He kind of did what you did to Danny Garcia. That's the cool thing about PBC is that, you know, all the fighters are in the crowd, and that's a whole other side story. They were acting crazy in the front couple rows during the fight on Saturday night. But, you know, Errol Spence jumped into the ring. He got in there. He said what he wanted to say about challenging you to a fight. You said that it's the easiest fight possibly to be made in boxing right now, which I kind of agree with. Has there been any discussion since you said it's such an easy fight to make? Has there been any talks of that? You know, I know you want the fight. What can you give us between you and Errol Spence?
It's the easiest fight to make in boxing because Errol Spence and Sean Porter are a lot alike. Mm-hmm. We're both very competitive. We both love getting in the ring and boxing and doing what we're doing, making people scream. And we both have that heart to do whatever it takes to win and virtually be unstoppable, no matter who it is, you know. So you could give him a list of names, and he'll throw the list back at you and say, I don't care, whoever y'all tell me to fight, that's who I'm going to fight. And I will do the exact same thing. If you give me a list of names, I'm not going to write down this guy first, that guy second, and that guy. I'm going to throw the list back at you and say, hey, you guys tell me who I'm fighting, and that's who it's going to be. You know, him and I are both, we're very old school in the simple fact that we know the money is going to come, and we know that the fame is going to come. It's just a matter of us getting in there and doing what we got to do to compete and win. And so for that fact alone, the fight is going to be the easiest fight to be made. He came in again in the post-fight press conference, and it was just fun to see. I think you guys, I hope you guys enjoy the promotion that him and I do, because him and I really are friends, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I hope that you guys don't get sidetracked by our fun, thinking that we're not going to get in there and do what we got to do, because we both will. But for the most part, this promotion is going to be fun. And I have not heard anything just yet about what direction the WBC wants to move in, mm-hmm. or what direction they want us to move in terms of fighting Errol Spence next.
But that's what you want next. I mean, it's pretty clear both guys want that next, so that should be
an easy one to do. To me, it makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
To me, it makes sense. To me, this fight is the next fight for me, and I think it's the next fight for Errol as well. I am going to be the devil right here, play the devil's advocate, saying that we all know that Mikey Garcia has called out Errol Spence. So I think Errol does have to at least not acknowledge, like, hey, I was, you know, going to, you know, just defend my honor for this guy calling me out. But I do think that Sean Porter is the better fight for me. And, you know, with that being said, I think that should be the next fight everyone sees in the welterweight division.
Yeah, when do you think you can get in there again? Maybe this year might be tough, considering that it's already mid-September. So when would you want to get in there?
I feel good. I do want to you know, relax throughout the Brown season. This is not this is not the NFL season for me. This is the Brown season for me. I do want to relax through that, but whenever they tell me, that's when I'll be ready to go. I should be fully recovered and healed by the end of this week, and like always, back training in the next 2 weeks. And
wow.
And we'll take a look at it. So we'll see.
So right now, the Browns, Sean Porter for the year has. Did you fight earlier in the year? You have two wins this year, right?
No. This was unfortunately my only fight this
year. All right.
Year.
So you got one win, and the Browns have one tie. So right now, Sean Porter, you have one up on your beloved Browns.
All my friends said, man, this would have been the perfect weekend ever if you had won and then the Browns won. I said, I know, man. We're working on it.
All right, man. Well, congratulations. The new WBC welterweight champion, Sean Porter, all-around good guy. I think the fans, you won over a lot of fans, and we're going to really look forward to Sean Porter, Errol Spence. That's going to be a really, really good fight and a great promotion, like you said. Thank you so much for taking some time to hop on with us, and hopefully we talk to you again soon, man.
You got it, man. Always great talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Okay, it's time for the Triple G Canelo preview portion of the show. Fight week is here. It's been a long time coming, this rematch. You know, both sides have been chirping. You know, you got Abel Sanchez, who we'll have on the show in a little bit. He's said a lot about Canelo and his team. You have Canelo on his side. He's chirping too. So finally here, where fight week is upon us. We're going to actually talk about the nuts and bolts right here. This is our CompuBox keys to victory for both fighters. We'll start with Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. And it's pretty easy for Triple G. He needs to do what he did in the first fight, and that was stick the jab. The jab was his friend. It's been his friend his entire career. He was able to establish the jab early on in their first fight. He's the best jabber in boxing, both by raw numbers and percentage-wise. He lands 10.4 jabs per round. It's the best in boxing. For a middleweight, that's just absurd. So he's going to have to do that in this fight to kind of keep... Canelo's in a move in there. He's going to move a lot. That's what he is. He said it. You know, he said, I'm a boxer. I'm a boxer-puncher. So if Triple G wants to establish that jab early and often. He's going to have to keep that same pace up. He landed 30% of his jabs in the first fight. That's Golovkin. He's going to have to do that in the rematch. Keep that same pace. Let that be the bread and butter. His first thing is to land that jab and then throw power punches off of that. So I fully expect Triple G to go in there and establish the jab early and often. Secondly, this was something that got away from Golovkin and what made it seem like, you know, maybe age is starting to creep in. He needs to attack on the ropes. He had Canelo on the ropes often in the first fight. It's something that Triple G has done his entire career. Got some of the best footwork in the game. He can cut the ring off like no other. So he did his normal thing where he cut Canelo off. He had him in the corner. He just didn't let his hands go when he was in the corner. I mean, Triple G has said over the last year, he said a lot of things about Canelo. One of which was that he said that Canelo's punches felt more like slaps. So if that's the case, he shouldn't have to worry about getting countered in there. Triple G landed 32% of his power shots versus Canelo in the first fight. That's a good number. But let's keep in mind that Triple G was landing at a 46% clip in his previous 13 fights. So when he has Canelo up against the ropes in this fight, he can't afford to be very selective there and not let his hands go. He has to let those hands go early and often. Can't take any rounds off if he wants a clear, decisive victory. Finally, for Triple G, keys to victory here, go to the body. He turned into an extreme headhunter in his first fight with Canelo. He only landed 8 body shots the entire fight. That's actually hard to accomplish, only landing 8 body shots. So he was strictly going for the head of Canelo in the first fight. You want to limit Canelo's movement in the ring. Like I said, Canelo's going to be moving in there. Dedicate some work to the body. They say it all the time. It's almost the key to victory in any fight in boxing. You hear Tim Bradley on ESPN. You hear all the ex-fighters, Malignaggi. Go through it. Roy Jones. They will talk about the fact that you have to dedicate work to the body. And especially with a guy with as good as movement as Canelo. Triple G's got to go to the body, and he's got to go to the body from early on in the fight. Establish that as well as the jab. Canelo likes to move in there. Like I said, he's the younger, fresher fighter, so how are you going to slow him down? Everyone is giving the edge to Canelo in this fight, it seems like, and they're saying, listen, he's the younger guy, age is on his side, he can deal with ring rust a little better than an older Gennady Golovkin. So what do you do for a fresher, younger fighter who's going to go in there and he's going to move? You have to slow him down somehow, and the best way to slow down a fighter is to go to the body. So there are your keys to victory for Triple G, is the jab, attacking on the ropes, and going to the body. Now let's move over to Canelo. If he wants to win this fight, and he wants to win it decisively, he wants to continue his career and get the ball rolling, keep that cash cow flowing for Oscar, he needs to throw more punches. You know, he only averaged 42 punches per round in the first fight. Not going to get it done here. The middleweight average is 56, so he needs to step it up a little bit. Both fighters have said, neither, you know, he didn't hurt me. Canelo says he didn't hurt me. Triple G says he didn't hurt me. So what's the story here? If that's the problem here, if that's the case, then just let the hands go. You know, Canelo came in rounds through 9 through 12. He really stepped it up, but he's not going to be able to do that again. You can't take, you know, portions of rounds off like Canelo has done in his career. You can't take the first 5 rounds to get a feel for it. This should be round 13 of another fight here with Triple G and Canelo. Canelo's got to throw more punches. He's got to keep a solid pace from round 1. We'll see if he deviates from his 42 thrown per round and gets closer to the middleweight average of 56. Secondly, for Canelo, he needs to stay in the pocket and trade. I'm beating a dead horse here by saying that both fighters say that they didn't hurt each other. That's the case. Canelo, stay in the middle of the ring for longer periods of time. Win those exchanges. Don't take, you know, a minute off per round where you're just kind of moving around the ring. Get in there. Get in the middle of the ring. Do what you do. Maybe be a little more aggressive. You know, don't be a counter puncher. I know it's hard because that's what his style is. But you got to win this fight clear and decisively. You got to win over the fans. You got to win over the judges. It's time to let those hands fly. And finally, I said this for Triple G. I will say this for Canelo. I will say this for almost every fighter or every fight. The key to victory is go to the body. 26% of Canelo's landed punches in the first fight were to the body. Very good number, 26. Let's keep in mind that Canelo was landing at 40% body shots in his previous 6 fights. So I'm trying to wonder, why did those numbers go down? It's not like Golovkin's going to be moving in there. He's going to be almost like a stationary target in there. Go to the body, land those punches, get yourself a win. So there it is, your keys to victory for Triple G, your keys to victory for Canelo. We'll see if they listen to me, and we'll see who wins on Saturday night. All right, before we get to Abel Sanchez, I have to tell you about Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar located on West 35th between 7th and 8th Avenue, right a few steps away from Madison Square Garden. It is the place to watch all NFL games, all MLB playoffs, big fights. And on this Saturday, if you go over to John Sullivan's, which is their sister bar on 210 West 35th, you can watch Triple G versus Canelo. They are not charging a cover charge there, so you can just walk in, have some drinks, and watch what should be a great fight. And with that, we'll bring in Mr. Abel Sanchez. He is the trainer of Gennady Golovkin. Abel, thank you so much for coming on Inside Boxing Live.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
So take us through, and you've been with Gennady for such a long time now. Can you just take us through the normal fight week from a Monday through Friday, you know, how you're getting your guy ready for battle?
Well, he's ready to fight now. His weight obviously is not where it needs to be. He's about 3 pounds over for Friday's weigh-in. But we come to Vegas. We just arrived this morning. He'll have regular meals, and then we'll run in the evening somewhere here in the city. He'll rest during the day. Tomorrow he'll do the same thing. He'll eat breakfast, have some dinner, and then we'll run just to maintain his weight and drop it down to the limit, to the 60-pound limit. Mm-hmm. But the training's already finished. All the hard work is done. All we're trying to do now is maintain the weight and let his body rest.
Yeah, there's so many factors that go into a big fight, and you know the first fight was Gennady's first fight in Las Vegas. Do you think the fact that now he's a little more acclimated? I know he's been to Vegas a bunch of times for other fights, but the fact that now he can get into a fight week routine once again in Las Vegas, do you think that helps your guy?
Now, you know, actually, it's the same ring. It's the same situation. We have a hotel that we're staying in. It's the same as if it was in New York or in San Antonio or wherever. The only difference, a little hotter here.
Yeah.
I think the what was the hardest to get used to or get accustomed to is that we've never fought in front of these commissioners, these judges, and that. So it's a little bit different because they don't know us. And there was some controversy in the last one because of that, I think.
Yeah.
But hopefully this time it's an even playing field, and we can do what we should have done the first time, is knock his ass out.
Now, are you happy with the first of all, the referee? Are you happy with that? Are you happy with the judges and all that? That was squared away, I think, maybe like 2 weeks ago. I know you had some say in that, but I'm sure the Triple G side is ready to move forward with what we think should be some nice, clean judging, right?
Yeah, I think both sides are extremely happy, and I think the commission is happy. Steve Weisfeld is probably the most respected, most honest judge that hasn't had any kind of controversy in the world, actually. Glenn Feldman is an exceptional judge, and so is Dave Moretti.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that have been consistently, I'm not going to say even with everybody, but they've been consistently the guy that wins is the guy that they have winning.
Mm-hmm.
The referee is a guy from out of this state. He's a referee from New York, so it's nobody that I don't think we've worked. He's worked any of our fights or Canelo's fights. So again, it's all mutual. It should be fair, and I think the fans will like that because whoever wins is going to win.
Yes, that's right. We need a nice, clean decision. We need one victor to raise their hand, not both guys. No more draws. But how is this fight going to be different? Is this going to be like the 13th round of the first fight, as they say, or is this going to be the first round of a new battle?
I don't think it's going to be the 13th round. I think that these guys, because of the controversy and because of some of the things that have happened and have been said, they're very upset at each other. The camps obviously are very, very antagonistic towards each other. So I believe there's some bad blood, and I think it's a new battle. I think that they're going to go at each other and try to prove a point. I hope that's what it is, because I think the fans will then enjoy a great fight.
Now, in the ring, let's talk a little of the hard stuff here. Will Triple G, you know, you say that. I saw this press release you put out today with the ginger snap. Got a nice laugh out of me. I thought that was very clever. But the one thing in the first fight that Triple G, he only went to the – he didn't go to the body that often. And you think we had him landing 8 body punches in the first fight. Is that something we're going to see more where Triple G kind of targets the body?
Well, I think that Canelo's a body puncher too, and he didn't go to the body
He didn't.
Okay, the problem is that when you have somebody running from you, you have somebody that's not trying to engage, you have somebody that's just trying to survive and not necessarily win a fight, it's difficult to go to the body. You're going to be reaching, you're going to be doing things that are not natural. Canelo chooses to do what he's been saying he's going to do, and that's to try to knock Golovkin out, then I think they're going to be at range, and both guys are going to land body shots, and both guys are going to land head shots, and I think somebody will go down. If Canelo is not true to his word, then it's going to be difficult for Gennady to be jumping and lunging at him to try to hit him with a body shot when the guy's not there.
Now, there were a lot of times in the first fight as well when Gennady had Canelo up against the ropes, and a puzzling thing about that fight was that he didn't let his hands go like he normally does. I mean, he's great at cutting off the ring, great at fighting with angles, but when he had Canelo up against the ropes, wasn't his normal, you know, letting off a lot of punches. You know, why do you think that was, and what can is that something that you guys worked on for this upcoming fight?
That's something that we worked on, yes. You're absolutely right. Some of the things that we wanted him to do, he did not do in the last fight, so We're hoping that we're able to do the things that we practiced in the gym, and that's one of them. To go a little more when he's got him up against the ropes and in position to be able to hit him. Yeah.
Now the fact that Gennady is 1 year older. I mean, Canelo hasn't fought in a year because of the suspension. You know, Triple G got some rounds in May with his win. Now, do you believe in ring rust, and who do you think will be the fresher fighter? Do you think the advantage goes to your guy because he was in there in May, but he's also a year older, or you got Canelo on the other side who hasn't been in the ring in 12 months?
I don't think there's an advantage. I think 12 months is not really that long a time for ring rust, I guess, as you call it.
Yeah.
I think that there will be obviously some kind of hesitation at the beginning just because it's been a year for Canelo, but I think that if the fight gets going like it's supposed to, then it may end up being the kind of fight that we expected the first time once they get going, because they do know each other so well after 12 rounds.
Yeah. So the war of words that you talk about, both sides do not like each other. It seems like it isn't just like fluff for promotion. Like, I really think there is some bad blood between both camps. And, you know, you've been at the center of it with a lot of your quips. And, you know, I love them. To be honest with you, I really find them to be entertaining, that some of the things you say. And there hasn't been the biggest promotion for this fight. So, I mean, you've done a lot of work to get the pay-per-view sales up, to get some awareness around there. But there are people out there that say that you are trying to goad Canelo into a fight that wouldn't be his style, kind of the stand in the middle and trade, which would benefit Gennady. Do you think you're doing it for that reason, or do you really think that these two are going to come out and stand in the center and trade?
No, I disagree with that premise, because if you look at 40-some fights that Canelo had, he was the attacker. Mm-hmm. He attacked against Lara. He attacked against Mayweather. He attacked against Angulo. He attacked against Khan. He wasn't holding back. He was the attacker. He was that Mexican fighter going forward and throwing bombs. So that he chose to be Lara or Mayweather or Rigondeaux in our fight, that was a change that he made. It wasn't something that we made up. I just hope he fights the best fight that he can fight, and he does what he does best, but he tries to win. Instead of just trying to survive the 12 rounds, try to win. Try to knock Golovkin out, and by doing that, you're going to put yourself in a position to not only hit Golovkin, but also to be hit, and then the crowd's going to get what they expected.
Yeah, there's a lot of times in Canelo, one of the criticisms of Canelo was that he takes minutes off rounds. He'll fight maybe 2 minutes of a round, maybe a minute and a half of a round. So, yeah, it would be nice if you could sit in there and trade. Now, is it true that you really reached out to Michael Jordan and you wanted him to maybe design a shoe for Canelo that will help him run a little faster in there?
Well, he may need it, because the way that they're upset at each other, he may need that pair of shoes to get away from Golovkin, because I think Golovkin's got something to prove to himself. He's told me and he's told the press that he wants to punish Canelo for some of the things that he'd done, causing having the consequences that we encountered with the failed date, the no pay-per-view fight in May. He feels Canelo's guilty of a lot of things, and he wants to punish him for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of war of words here. And we've seen this, a more verbal Triple G, and you see this a lot in boxing when you have a guy that really isn't, like, that outspoken. We've seen Golovkin. He has, you know, he does do good press, but just an example would be Danny Garcia and his dad. You know, Danny Garcia is a very quiet guy. His dad, Angel Garcia, is the outspoken guy. That's kind of the deal with you in Gennady. But lately, we've been seeing this new, more verbal Golovkin, where, you know, he is out there and he's saying things that you don't exactly want to hear. You have the WBC, Mauricio Suleiman, saying that he can't believe some of the things that Triple G is saying. So do you really think that he's out there to, I don't want to say that he's doing it for show, or do you think he just really dislikes Canelo?
He dislikes Canelo. I think just like if you remember the Curtis Stevens fight when Curtis was doing all those cemetery plots and all those things, he was verbal with him. Not as much, but he was verbal with him because he felt that he wasn't being insulted. He felt that he was being put to the side. He's being and then with the positive test and with all the controversy that has happened, he feels that he's being stepped on. So he's being vocal because he's upset, just like he was in a Curtis Stevens fight, just a little. Or I shouldn't even say a little, a heck of a lot more.
Yeah. Now, okay, so let's just say there's a fan right now who's on the fence about ordering the pay-per-view. And since you've done such a good job helping promote this fight, what would you tell that fan?
I'll tell that fan to tune in and buy it because I think that you're going to see a classic fight. Two guys that are very upset at each other. Golovkin has had a great training camp. I'm sure Canelo has also. But I think the bottom line is that their war of words, I think, has made it so personal that they do want to hurt each other. Both guys want to hurt each other. So I would say buy the fight because it's going to be one of the classic fights of all times.
Abel Sanchez, thank you very much for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. I wish you luck on Saturday night, and we hope to talk again soon.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Abel Sanchez, taking some time out of a busy fight week to talk to us here on Inside Boxing Live. We're nearing the end of the show. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there's a lot going on in boxing right now. Things have gone from 0 to 100 real quick, like Drake has said in the past. But I know there are some things I missed. So that I'm going to bring in our super producer, Nick. Let me know what I missed, Nick.
The Fox PBC deal.
Yes, yeah. Huge. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
It's another network in. The PBC gets to do the old flipperoo. And they get money now instead of laying money out, so their investors probably happy.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was there on Saturday night at the Barclays, and the PBC people were super excited. There was an extra bounce in their step because they're like, hey, did you hear about the Fox deal? And talking to, like, Brian Campbell, Dane Rayfield, some of the other, like, Chris Mannix, Adam Abramowitz. You know, it's like, good. Competition is good, right? I mean, you're going to see the best of each stable fighting each other, but you're going to have to up the ante for these shows, which at least that's what I think, Nick.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it off air, but it creates sort of these four leagues now, just like with you know, MMA, you got the UFC, you got Bellator, you got PFL. It's getting to that point where the top rank is a league, Golden Boy is a league, Matchroom, because it's going to be very difficult to fight each other. I mean, it's interesting to see how they work it. I know Top Rank and Golden Boy made it work with Lomachenko Linares, and maybe there's something that can be done between, you know, you borrow a fighter for one fight, we borrow a fighter
for another
fight.
It has to be because
there's no other way that it can. There's more boxing, but it's more, separate than it's ever been.
I tweeted this out earlier in the week when I heard this news. It's a good time to be a fighter right now. There's so much money being thrown at these networks and these promoters. These fighters are going to get paid. They deserve to get paid, but it is a great time to be a fighter who is maybe, like, on the fence about if they want to change teams or change leagues and everything. Another thing is the budgets for all these networks and these promoters. So the supposed Fox PBC budget is going to be close to $60 million. Steven Espinosa is on the record saying that the Showtime budget is $60 million. So that's 120 right there. DAZN is reportedly has $120 million budget. And you throw in what ESPN's budget is with Top Rank, it's got to be close to 50, 60 million. You throw in what HBO's budget is these days. We all don't know what their budget is, but they are still a player. You throw in all the other smaller shows and everything. You're looking at close to a $400 million budget right now for the complete sport of boxing, which is crazy because they're going to be throwing out some big dollars at these fighters. We may not see a Terrence Crawford fight and Errol Spence anytime soon, but we're going to see a lot of high-profile PBC fights, high-profile Matchroom fights, and the fighters are going to get paid, which is the most important thing.
Yes, always important. Moving on, Pacquiao is threatening to sue Top Rank.
Yes, I saw that this morning. I opened up Instagram, and I'm expecting to see some Instagram models, some friends, some weekend things people did over the weekend. And I see Manny Pacquiao post official statement that I am threatening a lawsuit against Top Rank because they haven't paid me for my fight with Lucas Matisse. It's just another saga in the ongoing headline wars of what is now Manny Pacquiao's career at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you makes you more and more likely that Pacquiao goes with DAZN.
Yeah,
Khan just fought, and
Saturday
Khan
night.
Being Khan got knocked down,
hit the deck, got back up, and won.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can potentially see now Pacquiao fighting on DAZN, which I predicted a few weeks ago. I mean, it doesn't look like he's going to be fighting on ESPN. Or another thing this could be is a little posturing on Pacquiao's part. We don't know the other side of the story. You know, people are quick to say the promoters are slimy and shady. Bob Arum, he's shady. He hasn't paid Manny. He's been robbing him for years. But, maybe he owes money to Arum, and that they're not paying him. Who knows the full story here? But it is interesting to see what is now a relationship that has gone down to legal stuff between Pacquiao and Top Rank. And my prediction, I think you agree with me here, that Pacquiao versus Khan is looking more likely for DAZN.
I think so.
All right, what else you got?
I think finally, we have about a minute and a half left of the show. Canelo Triple G prediction.
All right, yeah, big fight coming up this Saturday. We'll be working the CompuBox keys. I've been going back and forth on this one, and my official prediction, this is not the CompuBox prediction, but this is me, Dan Canobio's prediction for this one. I see Golovkin winning a majority decision. I think there's going to be more action in this fight from the opening bell. I do believe what Abel Sanchez said, that it's not going to be the 13th round of the first fight. It's going to be a whole new fight, and both guys are going to come out with different styles. Golovkin's going to win those exchanges a little better. He's going to cut him off, and he's going to land more body shots, and I think Golovkin comes out on top in a majority decision. What do you think, Nick?
I'm going to agree with that, and I'm not going to – this isn't a debate show. One has one side, one has the other.
Yeah, what do you have? Pardon my take.
Yeah. I'm not Max and Stephen A. Smith. I think Triple G wins this. I think he's too much bigger than Canelo, and I think he's going to go to the body like he does. I don't think it's going to be the same as the first fight. So
will there be a knockdown? Will either guy hit the canvas?
I don't think anyone's going to hit the canvas, but it's going to go to distance, and I have Triple G winning.
All right, that's the show. Special thanks to Abel Sanchez for coming on. Showtime Sean Porter, great job out of you, Nick. As always, we'll be back next week. We're going to have a special edition of the show. We're going to recap Triple G and Canelo with some big-time guests. We'll see you next week.